Masechta Tainis, Daf Chof Aleph Amar Aleph, Tais Tu Yamaschil, Amru Leila Ilfa, Yosef Mar, Lahava Molach Mar. This Tais appears within the page of the Gemara itself. Rashi's on both sides of the Gemara. The Gemara records the story of Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, that after learning for a while, they decided to go into business, and then Rabbi Yochanan heard angels talking that they want to kill them because they left the Beis Medrash, but Ilfa didn't hear it. So Rabbi Yochanan took it as a sign that he should return to the Beis Medrash, and Ilfa didn't hear it, so he went on to go into business and became successful. Rabbi Yochanan went back to the Beis Medrash, eventually he became the Rosh Hashiva, and the terminology of the Gemara, he became the Melech, the king of the Beis Medrash. So the Gemara records that Ilfa returned from his business journey and saw that Rabbi Yochanan was the Rosh Hashiva, and Avreichim in the Beis Medrash told him the following sentence: "E Osiv Mar or E Yosiv Mar Vigoris Lo Hava Molech Mar." That's what we have in our Gemara. Taisis is a slight different girsa. Amar Leila Ilfa Yosiv Mar Lo Hava Molech Mar. So Taisis has two interpretations as to what to read this sentence: as a statement or as a rhetorical question. Pirish, say Taisis. So the Bach adds in the word Bitmiya, meaning to be read as a rhetorical question. Even without the Bach's addition, that's certainly what Tosis means. Kolomar meaning, Lo ha'yisa molech l'Rosh Hashiva. The Bach adds in the word v'chi, which introduces the rhetorical question. V'chi lo ha'yisa molech l'Rosh Hashiva. Meaning, if you had stayed and learned, as Rashi points out, that Ilfa was naturally somewhat more talented in learning than Rabbi Yochanan, so wouldn't it have been the case that you would have been the Rosh Hashiva instead of your Chaver, Rabbi Yochanan, had you stayed and learning? So that approach is to read it rhetorically, that Lo Hava Molech Mar, wouldn't you have reigned instead of Rabbi Yochanan? So according to that interpretation, the two Mars are the same person. Yosef Mar, if the master, meaning if you, Ilfa, had stayed in the Beis Medrash, Lo Hava Molech Mar, wouldn't you have reigned? Wouldn't you have been the Rosh Hashiva? Also going on Ilfa. Now Tosis is the second interpretation, that you read it not as a rhetorical question, but as a statement. And as we shall see, the two Mars then referring to different people. V'yesh Mefarshim, and some explain, B'nichusa, to be read in a straightforward way, not as a question, but as a statement, Demar koya Rabbi Yochanan, that the second Mar is going on Rabbi Yochanan, Kolomar, meaning, Yosef Mar, if the master had sat in the Beis Medrash, meaning if Ilfa, that's the first Mar, had sat in the Beis Medrash, Lo Hava Molech Rabbi Yochanan, and that's the second Mar. Rabbi Yochanan would not have become the Rosh Hashiva. Of course, he wouldn't have become the Rosh Hashiva, meaning that Ilfa would have. So both interpretations lead to the same place, just a matter of how we get there. Is it a rhetoric, Yosef Mar, Lo Hava Molech Mar, wouldn't you have become the Rosh Hashiva? Or is it a statement, Yosef Mar, that if you, Ilfa, had stayed in the Beis Medrash, Lo Hava Molech Mar, then the other master, meaning Rabbi Yochanan, wouldn't have been the Rosh Hashiva, you would have been the Rosh Hashiva. It was medayik from the words of Rashi that it sounds like Rashi had a slightly different gears in the Gemara. It doesn't say it's to be read b'tmiya, and he doesn't say it's to be read as a statement and juggling these various Mars. He seems to just have not had the word lo. Rashi seems to have been gores, Amru Leila Ilfa, Yosef Mar, Hava Malach Mar. Also the two Mars going on Ilfa, but as a statement that if Ilfa had stayed in the Beis Medrash, he would have been the Rosh Hashiva. That's what it sounds like from Rashi, even though he doesn't indicate that he's changing any kind of girsa. It's interesting, just as a side thought, that although Rashi indicates that Ilfa knew more than Rabbi Yochanan, but he didn't hear the heavenly voice, only Rabbi Yochanan did. So my Rebbe, Rav Heschel Shechter Shlita, always used to quote this together with the Gemara at the beginning of Chagiga, that Hashem cries three tears, and two of the tears are over what he referred to as misplaced people. People who are learning full-time, and they shouldn't be learning full-time. And people who are not learning full-time, and they should be learning full-time. Depends what you cut out for. Not all the time is it the case that just because a person is more learned, is their specific tafkid in life to be learning in the Beis Medrash full-time. And if I am quoting correctly, any mistake is with me. So my Rebbe interpreted this Gemara this way, that Dafka Ilfa didn't hear the heavenly voice, because even though he was a scholar, but it wasn't his tafkid to stay in the Beis Medrash the whole time, and that's why he didn't hear the voice, and he went out into business, and he was successful, and as the Gemara indicates in the continuation, he didn't forget his learning, he still kept up his learning, he was a learner-earner. And Rabbi Yochanan, who heard the voice, even though according to Rashi he was somewhat less talented, But he was destined to become the full-time learner and ultimately the Rosh Hashiva. And we see that that clearly was his task. There's hardly a page of Gemara that doesn't include the teachings of Rabbi Yochanan, either directly or through his Talmidim. A very important lesson in terms of a very weighty decision about how long a person should stay in the Beis Medrash. Masechta Tainis, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Toisis Divi Maschil Yovo Mona Ben Pras. The Gemara records a halachic give and take between Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. And Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista was very impressed by Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok's halachic comment. So Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista commented to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, "It would be nice if you come to live with us, so you'll be in a greater place of Torah." As Rashi explains, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok was in an area where there weren't such great people. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok responded that he doesn't want to leave. He quotes, based on Har Sinai, that it's not the place that honors the person, it's the person that honors the place. So he's okay where he is. You have to blend this together with the Braisa that is traditionally learned that as the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, about living in a place of Talmid Chachamim, the famous statement of Rabbi Yossi. So why wasn't Rav Nachman Yitzchok willing to move? So that has to be thought about. So then Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, according to a simple reading of the Gemara, was so impressed with Rav Nachman Yitzchok, so he said, so if you're not going to come to me, so maybe I should come to you. So to that, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok responded that Yavo Mona Ben Pras Eitzel Mona Ben Mona Va'al Yavo Mona Ben Mona Eitzel Mona Ben Pras. Meaning that someone who's 100, son of half of that, of 50, he should be the one to come to someone who's 100, son of 100. And the one who's 100, son of 100, shouldn't come and demean himself to come to someone who is 100, son of 50. So what do these things all mean, these monetary denominations? So Rashi, and Tais is going to say the same thing, explains as follows. Kilomar, meaning, Mutav sheyavo godol ben hedyot, that a great person who's the son of an ordinary person, depras lohava elechatzimone, because a pras, which is 50, is only half of 100. So that indicates an ordinary person, not a great person. The money indicates a great person. Val yavo money ben money, and 100 son of 100, meaning a great person, the son of a great person, Tosis elaborates, the Hainu, namely, Rav Chista, the hoya money. Rav Chista was a great Talmud Chacham in his own right. Kelomar shehoya chashev, meaning that he was insignificant. So Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista was a money, the son of a money. He was a Choshev Rav, the son of a Choshev Rav. Upras, the Mona ben Pras, Hainu Yitzchok, that's Yitzchok, who's not called Rav Yitzchok, Avua de Rav Nachman, the father of the other Rav Nachman. The other Rav Nachman was a Mona. He was an important Rav, a Rav Chashuv. But his father wasn't the Lomikri Rav Yitzchok, since Yitzchok, the father of Nachman, was not called Rav Yitzchok, so he's not an Adam Chashuv. Either he wasn't learned at all, or he was learned, but he didn't get a chance to receive smicha. He didn't reach a certain stage in his learning, which is the way Rashi interprets. Tosis is vague about that, whether he was a Talmud Chacham at all. To be sure, there is a Rabbi Yitzchok in the Gemara, but apparently that was not the father of Rav Nachman, or at least one of these Rav Nachmans. The Sfas Emes, which is quoted on the margin of the Gemara here in the Oz Vahadar, and this is also noted by Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Mefarshim in the back, asks, why is this a violation of Kibra V'ein to refer to your father as a pras? So I was just thinking that perhaps we could suggest that he wasn't trying to slight his father. Adarabba, the ordinary father, had produced a gem, and as the Gemara says elsewhere, Bakar la de Miskane, people are jealous about others who are like them, who succeed in an area that they are in as well, except Bibnova Talmido, that a father is not jealous if the son becomes greater. So perhaps Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok was saying that without any slight to my father, but Baruch Hashem, he was offered to produce a big Talmud Chacham, and therefore it would not be disgraceful to the father to talk that way. And that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchok was trying to say, that it wouldn't be proper for you, Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, to come to me. It would be more proper for me to come to you. But as the Gemara says, he didn't want to because he wanted to stay where he was. Tais divi maschil amar lei zavda aisi ba'adayu, to be read rhetorically. The Gemara records that in the times of Rav Yehuda, there was a locust plague, and he declared a fast day. So the members of the community told him that they're not devouring the crops. They just seem to be flying by. So why is there a need to declare a fast day? The whole tzara of Arbeh is that they're going to ruin the crops. So to that, Rabbi Yehuda responded, Zavda Aisi Badayu. So Tosis explains, similar to Rashi, Pirish, meaning, did they bring food with them? Zavda meaning food. In modern Hebrew, Mizvada is a suitcase, luggage. So he probably got it from this Gemara. Did they bring food with them? Shehu, Tosis continues, Shehu Ochlos, that they should eat that food. Kilomar meaning, in a non-rhetorical way. It's impossible that they're not going to eat the crops and the seeds unless we daven and fast over it that they shouldn't do so. Just because they're not eating the crops now doesn't mean that in a while they're still around, they're not going to devour the crops. Toys de Maschel Omelet of Yehuda, Ika my son of a Chaziri, Gazar Tanisa Vachule, Ad Shani Chaziri, the Damu Me'ayu Livne Inchi. To give the background of the Gemara records again in the times of Yehuda that they told him that there was some kind of fatal disease that had hit the pigs. So he declared a fast day. So the Gemara suggests, and that's the Vachule that Tosis just briefly writes Vachule on, that it sounds like Rav Yehuda holds that you always have to be concerned about interspecies crossover from one species to another in terms of disease. This is something, unfortunately, the world was dealing with the whole COVID-19 plague that still hasn't gone away. So the Gemara says that that's not necessarily the case, but specifically with pigs, we have to worry about it because the intestines of a pig are similar to that of man, and therefore it's more likely that disease will cross over. I think the Sfarim and Torah Mada speak a lot about this. It's actually interesting that sometimes they use heart valves from a pig in order to transplant into a human being, because other organs are also similar between a pig and a human being. Shatosis elucidates this Gemara, Perish, meaning Shabnei Meyav Shel Chazir, that the intestines of the pig, Domin, are similar, Lemeayim Shel Bnei Adam, to the intestines of people. V'yesh Lachush, and there's what to be concerned about, Sheyehei, the Bachi is in the word Dever, Sheyehei Dever El Bnei Adam, that there'll be a pestilence, a disease on the people too. So, that's in terms of the Pashto Pshat, simple understanding of the Gemara. Now Tos has a discussion about whether this also applies between non-Jews and Jews. Mikan Nira, from here would appear, Shem Yia Dever Al Ovdei Kochavim, that if there's some pestilence or plague on non-Jews, Sheyesh Lachush, that is what to be concerned about, V'yesh Lisanos, and one should fast. De'ahacha Chazinan De'gazar Tanisa, since here we see that Yehuda decreed a fast day, Midever Shahya Bachazirin, from a plague that was hitting even animals. Why? Mishem the Domu Me'ayu Livnei Adam, because their intestines are similar to people. The Kol Shekein the Nachrim, the Domu Yisrael, and all the more so non-Jews, whose body systems are more similar to Jews. So therefore, one should indeed declare a fast day, even if the plague is only hitting the non-Jews. So the Bach has an interesting kasha that he asks, which ultimately is discussed also by the Ran, quoting other Rishonim, that there's a Gemara in Masechtet Shabbos of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph that speaks about the fact that Rav would not want to cross a bridge when there was an idolater on it, because he was afraid that there would be a decree on that idolater that he should die and the bridge would collapse, and that Rav wouldn't have a schus to independently be saved. It's interesting that on this very daf, they point out that Rav had tremendous zechuyos. But Rav was humble and he didn't think so, and he was afraid that if there was a decree that a non-Jew should die and the bridge would collapse, that he would collapse along with him and wouldn't be saved. So he would always wait till the bridge didn't have the idolater on it. And Shmuel did the opposite, that he would dafka wait for an idolater to go on the bridge and he would go on with him. Why? So that's what the Bach quotes, the expression from the Gemara in Shabbos, Sitna betray umi lo shalta, that the Satan does not rule over two nations at the same time. So if there's a decree against the Nochri that he should die, it wouldn't be that in the same forum the Jew would die, and presumably vice versa. So based on that, the Bach asks in this Tosis, and the Ran actually quotes Machlokas about this, that maybe when a plague is hitting the non-Jewish world, there is no concern to fast, because that's Trei Umi, two nations unless the plague chalila hits the Jews. When it comes to the animal kingdom, so the animals are not a different nation. So there we're worried about crossover, at least if the organ systems are similar. So needs more analysis in terms of that debate. The Balei Machshava like to point out from this Tosfos that what kind of havamina does Tosfos have that if there's a plague among the non-Jews, so maybe Jews shouldn't fast. And then he brings a proof from our Gemara that if we're concerned about similarities between the animal kingdom and people, so all the more so between different kinds of people. What do you mean, different kinds of people? The organ systems of the non-Jews and the Jews are exactly identical. So that's what the Balei Machshava point out from this Tosfos, that just like the Jewish neshama is different from the non-Jewish neshama, even the Jewish body to some extent is different from the non-Jewish body. Similar enough that in the Maskanas HaTosfos that you have to be concerned about crossover. That is, of course, reminiscent of the famous words of the Kuzari, that there are five different kinds of species, if you will, including on the spiritual plane. There's domain, the inanimate, there's someach, the plants, what they call in science the flora, and then you have animals, the chai, which in science they call fauna, and then you have people, bnei adam, the fourth category. From Ashkafic perspective, people are much higher than the animals. They're not just a form of animal, not just a homo sapiens. And then there's Yisrael on a different plane, on a different level. So much has been said about this in terms of the notion of Bechiras Yisrael, the chosenness of Israel, with many sources, much of them in Kabbalah, pointing out that it's a fundamental difference, not only in the level of the soul, but based on this Tosfos, even on the level of the body. Others want to limit the notion of Bechira to more obligations, but many sources indicate, like that teaching of the Kuzari, not a topic for now, but in my own humble machshava, I always thought that these teachings are meant to instill within the Jewish people a sense of pride of who they are, and therefore to realize that it behooves them to act like princes, because that's what they were made into by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that these kinds of teachings are never meant, chas v'shalom, to denigrate the rest of the nations of the world. Just to end with one story in this regard, they quote from one of the Balei Musar, I'm not sure if it was the altar of Slobodka, or the altar in the Vardik, that when the doctor told him to stick out his tongue because he had some kind of sore throat, he didn't listen. The doctor asked him again, Hey Rabina, stick out your tongue. He didn't listen. Third time, fourth time. Finally, the doctor said, if you don't stick out your tongue, Rabina, I'm not going to be able to check you. So with a tear, he said, how can you ask me to stick out my tongue to Atzelem Elokim? So certainly, and I humbly suggest that sometimes people are not learning this properly, we have to respect Atzelem Elokim of the whole world, but also realize the special unique qualities on the level of the neshama, and perhaps even on the level of the guf, according to this Tosfos, that Hashem has endowed us with in order to act like B'nai Melochim, and not in the ordinary mores and norms of the world. The Gemara discusses that Rav Nachman decreed a fast day because there was a plague in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Nachman, of course, Rav Nachman as opposed to Rabbi Nachman, without the higher level form of smicha, was in Bavel. So he decreed a fast day in Bavel. And even though the general rule is, at least according to one understanding of the Gemara, as we saw earlier, Ba'osef Rachya Belvad, only in that Malchus, only in that country, so why did he decree a fast day? So he commented rhetorically in Gvira Loka, Shivcha Lekol Shekein, if the mistress, the noble woman, has a plague, so all the more so, the female servant is also going to be smitten. So that's what Tosfos comments to elucidate that Gvira Loka, Pirish Zohar Eretz Yisrael. The Gvira is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, and the Shivcha is a reference to all the other countries in Chutz Loretz. It's a big discussion that Ran quotes the name of the Ramban to, based on this Gemara, to work out other sources in terms of when one decrees a fast, when they had Tzaros in Eretz Yisrael. There's also an interesting response of Rav Sternbuch Shlita in his Shuvas van Hoggis, where someone was asking him about making Aliyah, and Rav Sternbuch said that all things being equal, of course you should, you have to make sure to have proper chinuch for your children. Then he points out that you should make sure not to fall into any kind of secular trends that sometimes one would find in Eretz Yisrael. And then the person apparently in the question had asked him that they're going to be Chevli Mashiach, birth pangs of the Mashiach, and all kinds of tsaros that are going to hit Eretz Yisrael, so maybe it'll be better to not make Aliyah and to wait till Mashiach comes. So Rav Sternbuch very poignantly quotes this Gemara, in Gvira Loka, Shivcha Lekol Shekein, that if Eretz Yisrael will have to undergo tzaris in the period leading up to the Messianic era, so wouldn't it be all the more so that Chutz Laaretz would undergo tzaris? Interesting food for thought.